Good morning. My name's Liz. I'm a parishioner here at St. Mark's, and I also serve as one of the chaplains at the county jail. And last night, many of you were there, we celebrated as a church community Advent Eve with a delicious dinner, a lot of work by a lot of people, a beautiful display and decorations. And I was able to bring some of the artwork and poetry that inmates in the jail write in conjunction with the volunteers from St. Mark's who go in. And it was wonderful for me, at least, to join my two worlds, my church community and my jail church community together. That was a great gift to me, so thank you. And in fact, when I leave this service today, I'll be going to lead a similar one at the women's jail. And as we heard at the beginning of the epistle, I want to bring you grace and peace from and greetings from the church behind bars at Elmwood to St. Mark's. And with your permission, I will take your greetings and grace and peace to the church behind bars this afternoon. We are all one. So we enter the season of Advent, and Advent is a time of waiting, of holding on to hope, of anticipating the freedom and joy that the coming of the Lord will bring. But for now, we wait. By the time Jesus was born, the people of God had been waiting in spiritual darkness and silence for over 400 years. God seemed to be distant, and he wasn't saying very much. Between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New, for us it's just one turn of the page in our Bibles. For the people waiting, it was 400 years of quietness. God seemed to have left the building. I wonder if you ever feel that God has left your building. You can hear this sense of waiting and frustration even in the readings for today. Isaiah expresses that frustration. Oh God, would you please just do something? Anything? Would you show yourself so people know you are real? His words remind me of how I feel when I'm trying to subtly suggest to my teenagers that it may be good to start studying for that test a few days ahead of it, not the evening before at midnight. Would you just do it now? It's a really good idea. But God, like teenagers, often seems to tarry. And so we wait. Let me recap a couple of the poems I shared last night from inmates who wrote about their own waiting. One writes, I am waiting for hope to shed some light. I am waiting for God to stop saying, not yet. I am waiting for the light to get a little brighter. I am waiting for the new me to be fully out. I am waiting for my wife to say, we will fulfill our vows. I am waiting for my chance to show God I'm ready. This one, next one is from David. He's in his late 20s. He's looking at a life sentence with a third strike. I am waiting for freedom. I am waiting for a really big Slurpee. You don't get those in the jail. I am waiting for myself to see. I am waiting for love ever after. I am waiting for a better time. I am waiting for the day I meet God. I am waiting on waiting. I love that David mentions Slurpees, that he may never, ever have again, because it keeps it very real. But I'm humbled by the courage and the honesty of many of the men and women that I work with. They spend hours, usually 22 hours a day, locked in their cell. No internet, no YouTube, no cell phones, not really much of anything at all. Because they challenge me to look at my life, how busy, how full of distractions it is, how much I keep myself inoculated from thinking or reflecting too much. They show me how waiting for many of us has become not a gift, but an irritation, to the point where many of us eliminate waiting from our lives as much as we can. Amazon Prime means I never need to wait more than 2 days to receive pretty much anything I order. Instapots mean we don't need to wait for the slow simmering of yesteryear to make the delicious meals we crave. Netflix streaming means that when the new series of the show I love appears all at once, I don't need to wait a week between each episode to find out if Stranger Things will take over the world. We, my friends, have all but eliminated the pauses, the waitings in our lives. And in doing so, we lose a precious opportunity to honestly, maybe sometimes painfully, face our longings and fears in the presence of a God who promises to be there. So I want to invite you, as we start Advent together, to learn from my friends, the inmates, to receive a gift from them, to create intentional spaces of nothingness, maybe even boredom in your lives this December, to wait for yourself to bubble up in the space and allow yourself to discover, what are you waiting for? In the writing classes we do in the jail, the volunteers and the chaplains do the same exercises alongside the men and women. As they write, we write. Here are some of the things I wrote that I am waiting for, which for me is a prayer to God. I am waiting for peace and mercy. I am waiting for a time when I know that all three of my kids at the same moment are fulfilled and peacefully full of joy. I am waiting for my father to end his battle with Parkinson's and dementia. But I also don't want that to end. I am waiting for a time when I do my job perfectly and don't mess up. Or maybe a time when I'm okay with not doing my job perfectly and messing up. I am waiting for a clear Saturday to spend time baking with my daughter. I am waiting for a time when waiting is done. I am waiting for true and deep justice to roll down like a river. Once you give yourself space and time to start making your own waiting list, you may be surprised at some of the things that come up, maybe revealing the fears, the frustrations, and longings you often keep safely under wraps. But it strikes me as I hear our passages for Advent today that Advent is not simply about waiting. My children are already waiting for their Christmas presents. The inmates I work with are waiting for never-ending legal processes to be done. I'm waiting for the sourdough bread dough I made to rise before I bake it. My daughter is waiting to see which colleges she's applied for might accept her. America waits for justice. We're all waiting, but it's not just about the wait, it's about how we wait. In the gospel, Jesus talks about our wait, likening it to the fig tree putting forth buds. We wait for them to flower and fruit, and the promise of the future fruit looms as the buds fatten. There is an anticipation in watching those buds, a hope and a promise of fulfillment. In the epistle, Paul writes, we are strengthened and enriched by the presence of Christ and grace as we wait. So the waiting is graced. We wait with hope. I'm guessing you have a sense of the difference between hopeful waiting and hopeless waiting. In the jail, many teeter on the brink of hopelessness as they wait. Maybe in this church too, we are tempted to give in to hopelessness as we wait for a God who seems to take a long time. Whether it's about the political situation in our country, anxiety or anger over how the tax bill might affect us or those around us, the threat of nuclear annihilation, or justice in any number of these painful areas of society. Or maybe it's more personal, waiting for a diagnosis, waiting for a loved one we're worried about, a depression or anxiety to lift, a time of sickness or isolation to end, a relationship and a sense of God's presence to come back. How are we waiting? The words of the inmates once again invite us to risk waiting with hope that God will come through. This is David, the slurpy man again. I am to being better than I was. I am to God's loving hands. I am to never hurting my family again and making up for what I've done. I am to better days where people see people for people, not color or race, and gangs see people, not red or blue. I am to the best I can be, not and until I meet God. Despite an incredibly painful present, this man waits with hope. Can you hear the hope in his words? For God to redeem and restore, with absolutely no guarantee that he will ever be free again during his life. It is humbling to me to experience this defiant hopefulness when I so easily give in to despair in my own life. I struggle with hopelessness most around my children, aged 20, 17, and 15, so I admit I am in the desert years of parenting. There are some wonderful moments, but as a so-called professional Christian who listens to the stories of broken lives every day, I struggle when I come home to hope. When I see each of my three children to varying degrees walk away from the church and traditions and beliefs that I treasure. I struggle with hope when I see them making choices that I feel are destructive. And in my darker moments, which often seem to be between 3:30 and 5 a.m., I wonder, what did I do? What could I have done different? How is it all going to end up? And why did I even think I could do this ever? What invades your mind in your 3:30 a.m. moments when the usual distractions of life are not available to you? The words of Scripture challenge me to wait for God with hope in darkness. The words of the men and women I work with challenge me to wait with hope in darkness. Not because God has a magic wand to wave, but because God is promising to be with us. God with us, Emmanuel, in whatever the darkness brings us. There was a poem read by King George of England, UK, my home, to the nation soon after Britain declared war on Nazi Germany in 1939. That was possibly one of the darkest, most dread-filled times my home country has ever faced. People were looking for hope in the darkness. They were wanting to hear, it's all going to be okay. They were desperate at the thought of what lay ahead. And they were desperate times. This is what the king spoke on the radio to the nation, and it stayed with the nation through the next 6 years, and the queen still refers to it today. This is what he said. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness. Put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. This Advent, as the days darken, as the nights get longer, the invitation is for us too. Don't run away from the darkness. Give yourself space to wait in quiet and express the deepest fears and longings. Reach out for the hand of God and hear the promise of the coming King. For the ripening bud of Advent reminds us God is with us. Emmanuel is present. And deep darkness will never, ever again be a place that God has not inhabited. Amen.